So we're on a series here, and we're on sermon number 5 in the book of Micah. And you know, Micah is famous for mainly, this is one verse, and we're in that verse today. We're in the middle of that verse, Micah 6, verse 8, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. One of the things that I want to say hello to some of my friends who aren't here today, and I'm especially thinking today of Kevin. And the reason I'm thinking of Kevin is because I'm thinking about football. And I'm thinking about missing football. No, not really. But I'm thinking about things that happen in football games. And when I think about that, I think about Kevin. I think about the rest of you too, and I'll talk to you about that in just a minute. But I think about Kevin, and I think about this thing for me as a coach. And I think lots of people know this kind of phrase, cliche, it's very cliche, about a team that really wants it. You know, like there's something that if you want it, sometimes you'll say that the team that's going to win is going to be the team that wants it. Yeah, you've heard that. I always thought that was not true. I thought the team that's going to win is the team that has the best players. That's the main thing. In my experience as a coach, it was whoever has the best players, that's who's going to win. And so what about if the players are even? I said, forget about it. But today we are going to kind of think about that idea of wanting it the most. Or maybe not exactly. But we are going to talk about desire and in a very positive kind of way. Let's pray before we get going. God, we thank you for your word, and we pray today that we would have insight into who you are and who you want us to be. We thank you for this assembly and the chance we have to worship you. You are our God, and we love you with all of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're in Micah 6, verse 8. There's this courtroom scene. God's people are, and God, they're angry. They're not getting along, and they're in this discussion, and they're asking a silly question like, well, what do you want from us anyway? And then Micah, representing God, says, the Lord has shown you what he wants. He's shown you what he wants. And in verse 6, 8, and what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And again, the great t-shirt verse, love it. The great coffee mug verse or the wall hanging verse is great. And it is great to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And last week we talked about the idea of what it is to do justice. And today we're going to talk about the idea what it is to love mercy. Honestly, in some ways I think that loving mercy is a foundation for doing justice. And perhaps even walking humbly is a foundation for loving mercy. We'll get to that maybe. But the love mercy, and of course this is, you know, this verse is, and this portion of this verse is right up my alley because I'm a Bible teacher and a university, and I was, and it was great. And, you know, I love to get in deep weeds with words. And especially Greek words, but my jam is Hebrew words. And so we're going to talk about these two words, love, mercy. Love, mercy. Because that's what's required, to love mercy. And as you get to looking at the two words in Hebrew, it's these two words, ahava, chesed. Now then, these are hard words to say. And so you're going to mess it up, I hope, a little bit, because I did a lot. And so, but if you go online and ask how these words are pronounced, you know, you're going to find several different really bad examples of how they're pronounced and very different ones as well. But we're going to practice a little bit so we get to it, and then we'll get to their meaning. But first, we're going to say ahava.
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 That means love. Okay, cool. Now, the next word is the trickier one. Because if you look at it like that, some people, and honestly, you go online and see how does this pronounce, some people would say cheesed, and it's not pronounced cheesed. Don't do that. And a lot of times it's even spelled different than this, transliterated into English. It's H-E-S-E-D instead of the C. So it's this thing in Hebrew where you got a little bit of a k. So everybody first go k. Nice. One more time. K. Okay. So if you add the k in front of the H-E-S-E-D, it's k-hesed. Now then you want the k to be almost like it's almost not even said. Okay? It's real, it's just subtle. Chesed. 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 Okay? So Ahava Chesed. Ahava Chesed. Ahava. Oh, so what's the deal is, the thing is, these words are translated different, especially Chesed is translated into different English words all over the Old Testament. It's one of the most common words, you know, besides the word like all or the or something like that. But a word that has some substance to it, it's one of the most common words in the Old Testament. And it mostly means this, steadfast love. But this is a word I think is kind of cool. Y'all can read that? Yeah. So all over the Old Testament, this is how this word is pronounced. I mean, this word is translated in so many different ways. Now, in Micah 6:8, it's translated mercy. Mercy. But it's mostly the love, that the way that God loves. God loves. And the size of these, you know, means how many times it was used. You know, you get that? Like, it's steadfast love by far is the way it's translated the most. Steadfast love. I'm going to read some examples just of all these different words and the way it's translated in some verses that you're probably pretty familiar with. Psalm 51:1. Have mercy on me, O Lord, according to your steadfast love. Now, there's another word in Hebrew that means mercy, and that's what's used here in Psalm 51:1. You remember the setting of this Psalm, David has sinned and he's coming to God and he's saying, God, have mercy on me. And in the background, God says, why? And David says, because of your steadfast love. Have mercy on me because you love me. Your love is steadfast. Your love never fails. So in some translations, it says steadfast love, but in the NIV, it says unfailing love. Love that lasts. Love that never ends. That's what Chesed, say it. Chesed. It never fails. Love that never fails. It never goes away. You can't do something that's going to keep God from loving you. That's steadfast love. Now then, Psalm 23, it says, surely goodness and mercy, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. It's translated mercy. So this love is also about forgiving. The love of God lasts forever, and it's a lot about forgiving. Aren't you glad about that? Can we say yes? Amen. Okay, another one is, it's kindness or loving kindness. And so Jeremiah 31 says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with loving kindness. I've drawn you with chesed. Loving kindness. God's love is kind. It lasts forever. It's forgiving and it's kind. Or another one is loyal. I keep punching it over that, but I put that right there. It's loyal or devotion. Sometimes it's translated devotion or loyalty. So Deuteronomy 7, knowing that the Lord your God is faithful, and he maintains his covenant loyalty with those who love him and keep his commandments. God is loyal. His love never ends. He's forgiving. He's loyal. Faithfulness. Hosea 6. Your faithfulness is like the morning mist. It's like the morning mist. And actually, this is God talking to the people of Israel who their love fades away. And he says, your faithfulness, your love is not like mine. But faithfulness is part of the idea of love of God. And then goodness. Exodus 34. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in goodness. And the last one I'm going to read is from Psalm 144, and this is what I call the wild card. Because I'm going to read you this psalm, and I'm going to read all the different ways different versions translate it. It says, "Blessed be the Lord, my chesed." The Lord is my chesed, and this is the way different translations write. "My rock, my steadfast love, my faithful one, my loving ally, my loving kindness." All this is about God. And to say this, mostly this kind of love is the character of God. What John would say in the New Testament, God is chesed. He's that kind of love. God is love. It is God's character to love. In the New Testament, we know Psalm, we know 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm going to read it as if it was written in Hebrew instead of Greek, translated to English. Chesed love is patient. It's kind. Chesed love does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. Chesed love does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrong. Chesed love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Chesed love, it's the character of God. Okay, you got that? Everybody got us with some chesed love. You know, you're thinking about, this is the way God loves. And so back to our verse. What does the Lord require? To love, love. To ahava, chesed. So He wants you to love this kind of love. And so let's talk about the word hava. Hava, ahava, it's ahava is the, not going into that. Ahava is passionate, emotional attraction. Whoa, okay, get that. It's passionate, emotional attraction that leads to action. And I want you to think this is the way God loves. He loves us in this way. He has passionate, emotional attraction for us, and it leads him to action. But this is the way that God, that Micah says, we want to love God's love. Okay, I'm getting into this a little more. So I'm going to read to you straight from Hebrew English definition. The root of the word ahava is to have affection, sexually or otherwise, to like, to love, to befriend, or to be intimate. It brings the idea, it brings to mind the idea of longing or panting for the Creator. Hebraically, ahava is a verb. It is an act of doing something. It is not just a feeling, but it begins with a feeling. Ahava is also connected with appetite. To ahava Yahweh is to crave Him and His Word. So the word, when God, in Deuteronomy 6:5, it says, love God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your soul. Love God, that's ahava. So it's saying, really, to desire God. Another way you would say it is, I want you to desire God. Love God. I want you to, and so Micah 6 is saying, I want you to desire the love of God, the way God loves. You want to desire ahava chesed. I want you to love like that. So for instance, I love baseball. I love good food. I love my family. I love good books. I love my wife. Some of you might even love ahava, the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, I don't know. So in the Bible, in Genesis 29, Jacob ahava Rachel. In 1 Samuel, I'm going to use ahava there, you know. He desired Rachel. Jonathan ahava David. It's a friendship kind of thing as well. God ahava His people in 2 Chronicles. Abraham ahava Isaac. Men ahava evil. Sometimes men desire evil. They loved evil. Men ahava God. That's Amos 5. Ahava evil, Psalm 52. Men ahava sleeping. Isaiah 52. Xerxes ahava Esther, if you know that story. Yeah. In Deuteronomy 10, God says he defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and shows ahava to the foreigner. Ahava on its own is not good or bad. It's not good or evil. What makes it good, what makes it a quality worth cultivating, is what's the object of your ahava. What is it that you love? What is it that you really desire, that you really love? And what Mike is saying is what God wants you to really love and really desire is to love like He loves. God wants you to want to love like He loves. The biggest example of this is from Song of Solomon. It has the most uses of the amount of words in Song of Solomon. It has the most use of the word ahava in it. It's a love story. It's a love poem. And this is from Song of Songs, chapter 8, verse 6. Ahava, love, is as strong as death. It burns like a raging fire. Many floods cannot quench it. This is about a person who is passionately in love with another person. This is describing their love. They say, love, the offer of all one's wealth for this kind of love would be despised. Like, what are you going to offer me for my wife? Okay, make an offer. Jeanette, make an offer. You're going to buy Mary Beth for me? No, there's nothing you could give me. You don't got anything that put all your wealth together, everybody in the room. You can't pay for that kind of love. Yeah, right. That's the response you should have to ahava. Do it all together. Let's do it all together. Ahava Mary Beth. That's what we do. Because we all kind of admire that kind of desire. That kind of, you love something, what, that much. That much. And this is what God says. I have you so much that I sent my son to die for you. I loved you that much that I sent my son to die for you. The idea is that I want good for you. I want good for you. I want good for you. This is what happens when desire replaces duty. Okay, think about this. I'm not a good son because it's my duty. It's because I want good for my mom and dad. I'm not a good husband because it's my duty. It is my duty, and duty is important. But above duty, I want good for my wife because I love ahava, not just because it's my job. And this is what God is saying in Micah 6:8. He doesn't want you to love like He loves just because it's your job. He wants you to be burning with that kind of love. I want the best for my parents. I may not enjoy the activity that I'm doing to show that love, but what I enjoy is the peace and the joy they receive when I love them. And the same with my wife. There's some things I do because I love her, not because I love doing the things, right? But because I love her. And so who is this person that we're supposed to love like that? Well, what Mike is really trying to say is everyone. It's not the who you're going to love, because God wants you to love everyone in that way. He wants you to love His kind of love so much that you're going to do it for everyone. God wants us to love others like He loves them. But not just out of obligation, right? Not just because it's my job. It's because it's my desire. It's my desire to forgive. What is God's love like? It's forgiving. It's mercy. He says, I want you to love mercy. I want you to desire mercy. I want you to be on fire to forgive other people. And I want you to be kind, because God's love is kind. I want you to be on fire for being kind. We're going to walk out the door and we're looking for people to be kind to, because we're burning up, right? With the love of God, to be kind. How do I do this? How do I do this? How to make my desire that kind of love? How do I cultivate that kind of love? That's the question we have. How do we do it? Well, for one thing, I believe it requires intentionality. Ahava, when God says, I want you to ahava chesed, I want you to love mercy, he's saying that as a requirement, meaning that I can develop this. It's a choice I can make. It doesn't just come over you, you know. He says, you can do this, people. You can do this. Let's do this together. Let's ahava, like I said, let's love mercy. So how do I do it? Well, it requires intentionality. It requires some focus. And I would say that means some disciplined choices. You're making choices. I'm watching Sherry make some choices right now. She's chosen to hold a baby, right? She's cultivating that kind of love right now. It doesn't just happen. Now then, in her case, right now, this is a little easier. But God's saying, I don't want you to just love the lovable. I want you to love like I love. And I love people who are not unlovable, right? Because he's saying, I want you to love with his kind of love. I want you to ahava chesed. I want you to be passionate about loving like God loves, which means loving the unlovable. I want to ahava especially the ones who don't return the favor. I'm going to forgive people who don't forgive. I'm going to be kind to people who are not kind. Okay, you get it? That's because that's the way God loves. And I want to be not just doing that, but I want to be passionate about that. I want to be loyal to those who are not loyal to me. Is that hard? Have you had people who are not loyal to you? You've been loyal to them. And then all of a sudden, boom, they drop you like a hot potato. They're not loyal to you. And what's God's response? I'm going to be loyal to them anyway. I'm going to love them anyway. I'm going to be kind to them. I'm going to forgive people who don't forgive me. So this is the kind of love you have, and what happens when you begin to do it, you begin to love it. Okay? It's amazing how when you begin to love a person by loving them like God loves them, you begin to love them, you begin to love the thing you're doing. Like, for instance, even Sherry right now holding a baby. Holding a baby is not something that's often, sometimes it's not easy. But you learn to love it anyway, even a crying baby, which this one isn't. Thank God. I want to ask you a question. And I think, and everyone may not know this, but I may not have experienced this, but have you ever experienced the joy of forgiving someone who didn't forgive you? They're not forgiving to you. Have you ever experienced the joy of being kind to someone who's not kind to you? There is a joy that comes from doing that. Now, it's not often easy, and sometimes it takes a minute to find that joy of what I'm going to say, doing the right thing. So, back to this idea of cultivating ahava. What we're doing is cultivating the love of mercy. How do I come to love mercy more, or love chesed more? How do I do that? Because it's not really natural for human beings to do that. When we're hurt, we want to hurt back. When we're not forgiven, we don't want to forgive. When someone's not loyal to us, we want to cut them off. Okay, that's what's human nature. But what God says, no, when they're not loyal, I want you to still be loyal. When they're not kind, I still want you to be kind, because that's how I am to you. So how do I cultivate that? I've got some suggestions. Three things. First, I want you to pray, God, help me want to want it. Sometimes I don't want the right thing, but my first step to wanting the right thing is to want to want it. There's a kindness that I need to do to a person, and I don't want to be kind to them because they've not been kind to anyone. For me to be able to be kind to them, I need to want to be kind, and before I can want to be kind, I need to want to be kind. Does that make sense? I want to. So I'm praying to God, help me want to want it. Let me take step one. I want to want it. Step two. If you pray this prayer, I promise you this will happen. The Holy Spirit is going to guide you and suddenly there's going to be inside your spirit this stirring to do a kind deed to an unkind person. And then you're going to start an argument with yourself, inside yourself. No, I'm not going to do that. They have not been kind to me. But wait a minute, there's this other voice speaking, and that's the Holy Spirit saying, yes, but I want you to be kind. But no, I don't want to be kind. They've not been kind to me. Well, I don't care. I want you to be kind to them because that's the way I love you. I love you in that way. I want you to love them. I want you to love mercy. Micah said, what does the Lord require? Love mercy. I want you to forgive this person. Do they deserve it? No. Do you deserve it? No. I want you to love. I want you to love mercy. And so you'll hear the Spirit. When you start praying to want it, God's Spirit's going to speak to you in your spirit. And what you need to do is obey. Do the kind deed. Do the kind deed. And maybe at the beginning, it may not feel too good. Sometimes you won't get, if you're looking for a good results, meaning the other person, oh, all of a sudden, yeah, I really do love you. Now that might not happen. They might still be unkind to you or unforgiving or disloyal. But God says, I want you to do it because that's the way I do it. I want you to love them not based on the merit, their merits, not because they deserve it. I want you to love them because I love them. And by the way, I love you that same way. And the third thing is, when you're on this path of trying to love mercy or developing, cultivating, loving mercy, then you would share your experiences with your spiritual partner, some friend who's praying with you about this. And so often, Mary Beth and I will have this discussion, or I've had it with my parents as well, or some friends of mine, that I'm having a tough time in a certain relationship, and it's about forgiveness. And how can I get to the place? Sometimes in the sharing of the experience, I receive strength to do the thing God has put in my heart anyway. Right? I receive strength to do the thing that I'm already wanting to do. So, summing it up, just our last, before our song that we're going to sing here together. So here's our heart's desire. Our heart's desire is what we love. For some of you, you know, it's the Cowboys. For me, it's the Yankees. Okay, whatever. I love this, though. And what I love, our heart's desire is to fill our days with service. So our daily motto, let's go do justice. Let's wake up in the morning. So Cindy and Danny, they're going to wake up in the morning. And as they're waking up, and I'm just imagining this, you know, you can imagine it with me. They may not wake up this way. But the alarm goes off, they hit the alarm, they kind of stretch and stir, and they look over each other, and Danny begins to smile, and Cindy begins to smirk, you know, y'all have seen it. And then he says, hey, Cindy, let's go do justice today. She says, okay, let's go wash some feet. Let's do that. Let's do this. Because we love, we can't wait to do the thing we love. It's like you can't wait to eat your favorite food. You can't wait to see the Cowboys win the Super Bowl. Well, you may have to wait on that, but you're excited about that. And so what about this? You get fired up, excited that I have the opportunity today to go out and do justice. Because when I'm doing that, that is what it means to love, ahava, be on fire for the kind of love that God has for his people, his creation, you and me and everyone else. Loving God, he says, requires loving your neighbor. And that's all this is about, to love mercy, to ahava chesed. That's what we were made to do. And, you know, our selfishness gets in our way. But we're made to let go of that and cling on to the promise of God that if we'll love like he loves, he'll take care of the rest. Let's sing together.